Lord, I have to do this again. Thank you, Rick. Okay. If your partner is not here and you need a partner, it's okay to go with a couple who will let you come with them. So it can be two or three. It's kind of better if it's two, probably, but three is okay, too. Okay, this is the part of the program that is one of the most important to me. And it's kind of interesting that we've done last night and we've done this morning. And I didn't sleep as well last night as I wanted to. And my energy is kind of feeling ebbing. And so after the last session we did this morning, I was walking to lunch and I was thinking, whoa, I don't know. I've got to do this afternoon. And what's going to happen? Well, as God would have it, somebody came over to me and I got to put into my ears the whatever you call those things to listen to music, and it was Brazilian French song that just absolutely perked me up like crazy. So thank you, Nameless Caesar, for that. I love hearing French. It makes me happy right away. So that was a really neat thing. So here we come to relapse, and may you not come to relapse if you're not there, but slipping and sliding and relapse. So as you might remember, I have had 10 years of that, and recently I had two real weeks of it. I think God thought, well, let's remind you of what this feels like so you can talk about it better. Oh, thanks. Yeah. If you do not want to be abstinent, that is okay. You are not required to want to be abstinent. So if there's anybody in here who just is saying to yourself, you know, I just don't want to be abstinent. Okay, go with that. You know, there's no shame in that. And anything we talk about here is not meant to produce any kind of shame. So if you're not abstinent and you don't want to be abstinent, I think it's really important just to acknowledge it and just be honest with yourself about it. No, blankety blankety, I don't want to be abstinent. But I'm going to keep coming to meetings, and I'm going to listen. But no, thank you very much. Okay? I think where the difficulty comes is where we get torn in two, is, yes, I want to be abstinent. Well, no, I really don't. So, and I'm going to talk about how that's played out in my life. So I want to say that, and then I want to say, whether you are abstinent or not, makes no difference to how beautiful you are. It makes no difference to how lovable you are. It makes no difference to how wonderful you are. You don't have to be abstinent to be wonderful, and you don't have to be abstinent to be loved. So take abstinence out of that picture. If you're feeling unhappy with yourself because you're not abstinent right now, you are still loved, and you are lovable, and you are loving. So that's where you are. That just happens to be where you are. Now, having said that, I'll tell you about my story of 10 years of not being abstinent. And they were painful years. I have said that the most productive parts of my life have been when I'm abstinent. And I tell you, those 17 years that I was really abstinent, you know, there's really abstinent and there's kind of abstinent. and I was really abstinent. I did think, I went back to school. In the middle, I was old. I went back to school. I got a master's degree. All because I was in this program. I got this wonderful job that never would have happened for me if I had not been abstinent. I had relationships I wouldn't have had. I mean, the rewards of being abstinent are multi. There's just no end to the rewards of being abstinent one day at a time. Doesn't matter that I wasn't abstinent yesterday. If I'm abstinent today, I get the rewards today of being abstinent. So it was a wonderful, productive part of my life. And then I shared the other night that I moved to Switzerland and I started to eat. Now here's where it all gets so tricky, because I was just eating a little bit more. I still wasn't eating sugar. Thank you, God. As I've said, I didn't take back sugar. I kind of thought that would be my safety. If I didn't take back sugar, I'd be safe. Cunning, baffling, powerful is this disease. So, okay. So I started eating just a little bit more. And then I was exercising more. I'm going to take you through my thought stuff, so I don't know if you'll recognize any of it, but for me it was, oh, I love it when somebody knocks. For me it was, okay, well, I'm exercising more. I got to walk to work every day. I had to go. This was true when I was a student, and also when I went back to be an employee. I had to go down, this time a bunch of stairs. It wasn't a hill, but had to go down a bunch of stairs. Walk past fields, saw Mont Blanc in the distance to go to work. I mean, tough life, right? And so that was my exercise. I walked. And then I would travel, and I would walk. So that was okay that I was eating a little bit more. Well, it didn't take very long, and that's the thing that's so insidious about our disease, is it didn't take very long before, oh, and I wasn't weighing, and I didn't have a sponsor, as I've shared, and I wasn't keeping up with OA stuff. So it didn't take long before my skirt started to get tight. Well, you know, I looked okay. I just needed another size. And what really happens for me, one of the real telltale signs for me is not first my skirt. I'm going to borrow this from somebody else, actually. It's my bra starts to cut into my... Yeah. And then my underpants... Sorry, guys. But then my underpants feel a little tight. And I swear I must have washed them in hot water. That's the real killer, is when you have to buy another size of underpants. It really kills me. So, but I did... I went and I bought new bras and I bought new panties and I bought one or two new skirts. And I'm looking in the mirror and I'm saying, well, that's okay, I'm all right, you know. So maybe I stayed that way for 2 years, And I was saying to myself, well, it's not as good as it could be, but it's not what it used to be. Does anybody? Oh, good. I'm not preaching to the choir. Yeah, I am preaching to the choir. So, it's not as good as it could be, but it's better than it ever was. So, who am I to complain? And who am I to put down that extra food? Because it really is nice to be able to come home and have that blah blah blah. Okay, so that was fine. I was doing well. Before I continue, right away I want to stop and say, while I'm talking about relapse like this, for people who are new, relapse is not inevitable. I want to make sure everybody hears that, because this is all about relapse. But you don't have to relapse. It's just that I did, and some people have. But it's not inevitable, okay? So anyway, back to 2 years, maybe. So I was doing okay for 2 years, and then I moved. I had a bunch of emotional challenges, relationship challenges, and in, I guess it was about a year, I'd gained 20 pounds more. So I'd already gained 10, so now I was 30 pounds over. And it's now, 3 years into my relapse. My relapse started when I started adding the 10 pounds. And that's why it was so hard to calculate at first, but that's when it started. But it's so slow. And so then, by then I had gained, 30 pounds. And I saw pictures of myself, and I was beginning to look the way I used to look. But it wasn't the way I used to look. So I said to myself, it's okay. Progress, not perfection. Well, little did I know that progress, not perfection, does not refer to abstinence. Either I'm using or I'm not. And for me, if I'm not using, I'm following the food plan that my sponsor and I agree to. And if I'm going to change the food plan, I talk it over with my sponsor. So I was using, and it took, maybe another 3 years. That's a horrible thing about this thing. It waits for you. And after another 3 years, I had gained probably a total of 70 pounds. Well, remember, I had lost 100. So I had gained 70. So what did I do with that one? How did I rationalize that? This is called Lessons in Denial. So I said, not bad. I don't weigh 100 pounds more. So I can get by with this. I can be okay with this. The thing was, I was getting all the results of what happens when I overeat. And when I overeat, I'm in oblivion. And when I overeat, I practice denial so strongly that I cannot hear or see anything else. And it's so gradual and so subtle and so important to hang on to that I'm really practicing my disease so strongly. At least that's what was true for me. And after that, I think it took another 2 years. I can remember going to, and I wasn't weighing myself. I knew I was buying bigger clothes, bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was seeing myself in pictures, bigger and bigger and bigger. But I really didn't want to know what I weighed. And I went to a clinic, an emergency clinic for I forget what actually, and he had me step on the scale. And I hadn't been on the scale in a long time. And I got on the scale, and I was really shocked. I had gained back the whole 100 pounds. And I was really angry. How did that happen? How could I have gained back 100 pounds? I was pissed. So, because I was mad, I decided it doesn't make any difference anyway, anymore. I'm just going to eat and eat and eat because I don't care. So, I'm just going to eat. It doesn't make any difference. And really, all of that stuff I said to myself, for me, was a version of, I'm not worth it anyway. And I did. I kept eating. And I stayed in denial. And I really stayed there. So I was there for a total of 10 years. And, it was hard to go up and downstairs. It was hard to play with my grandchildren. It was hard to do anything. And I did go to meetings. And I would go to meetings And as I've said, I would say, I've seen the light. I'm no longer going to be abstinent. And I would make a resolution. But I never made a decision to trust God with my abstinence. And I was doing all kinds of spiritual stuff. But when I'm overeating, I don't get the spiritual stuff so well. The food really gets in the way. So nothing was happening, right? Except I was feeling more and more miserable. My health was really challenged. I had heart problems. I was pre-diabetic. I was just everything. And oh, did I hate myself every morning. I hated waking up. Terrible way to wake up in the morning. The shame, the guilt, all that horrible stuff. Well, you know what a way that is to live. That's pretty awful way to live. So I'm going around miserable. I can't do relationships. I can't relate to myself. I don't want to talk to anybody. God, it's such a miracle I'm standing up here different. I've got to tell you. Anyway, so I was really at my wit's end, and I happened to hear somebody say, what is it you're doing that's keeping you from the abundant life that God has planned for you? And I didn't have to think very long about that. I knew I was overeating, but I didn't want to hear that. And it did have hope with it. It said, oh, I can have a different kind of life. I can have an abundant life where the abundance is in my life, not in my mouth. That there's a different kind of life I can have. That meant I had to do something about my overeating. Like I really had to do something. And I did not want to do anything. So I just said, I do not want to be abstinent. And it's really, I think, really important to tell God that. Because God has a way of having other ideas, I've discovered. But I just was honest, I do not, no, do not. Well, you know how God does stuff? What is it you're doing that's keeping you from the abundant life that God has planned for you? That sentence kept coming up, really that same sentence, everywhere. And you wouldn't think that'd be a sentence you'd hear at many other places, you know. But I did. It was just, it kept coming up. And I'm spitting, sorry. It came up all kinds of places. So I started to think, maybe God's telling me I have to look at this. And I participated in an exercise that we're going to do this afternoon. And I'm not going to tell you all about how that happened for me because I don't want to touch your experience. I was refusing to acknowledge to God that I needed to give God my food. And I argued with God, which is a good thing to do. I argued with God for literally 24 hours about why I was not going to give God my food. And 24 hours later, I found myself on my knees saying, please help me. Please make me abstinent because I can't do it. And God, that's frightening. Isn't that scary? It's so frightening. Well, are you really there? Can you really do that? Am I going to believe and then just get disappointed again for the 25th time? Is it really going to happen? Can you really do that? I don't know. It's like jumping out off of a cliff, right? And I got myself, somebody reminded me this afternoon, I got myself to an OA meeting the next day. And it was 24 hours after I had been on my knees. And I'd been abstinent for 24 hours. And I walked into that meeting, and the person I talked to today said she remembered how scared I looked. Because I shared with everybody, I have 24 hours of abstinence, and I am terrified. I am terrified it's not true. I'm terrified it's not going to work. And of course, we have a big book saying it works. You know, and we have all these abstinent people saying it works. But this was me. It wasn't you. You know, it was me. So I was scared. So that person, God bless her, after it was over, came up and gave me the biggest hug. And I thought, oh, I am home again. Somebody understands. So, except for recently, I've been absent one day at a time. It's just a miracle. The more I've trusted in God, the more God has helped me. And then what happened a couple of months ago is basically, physically, I wasn't able to keep up with the exercise thing I had had, which meant I had to cut down my food. You know, I don't know how it is that I equate more food than my body needs with comfort. I equate more food than my body needs with enjoyment. And the idea of giving up a little bit means, oh, I'll never be comfortable again. I'll never enjoy anything again. My life will just be miserable. Not to say that my life is miserable when I'm overeating, but I mean, I can't imagine anything without just a little bit more food. And the reality is it's so different from that. So what's the solution? The solution is to give it all to God, do the steps, get a sponsor. Everything everybody always says, you know, that's all it is. It's really simple. It's not dramatic. And it's not rocket science, which I keep trying to make it be. Now, maybe I should talk a little about this past relapse recently. I didn't want to give up the food. And the thing about this disease, one thing you can count on is that it will get worse. It's not going to get better. And so after a couple of months of kind of gaining a little here, and I don't remember if I bought new underpants, but I got close. And I had 2 weeks where I terrified myself because I ate everything that wasn't nailed down. I did not eat sugar, thank you God, but I ate everything that wasn't nailed down in quantities I hadn't done in years. I mean, the disease waits for you. I don't mean to scare you, but it's still there. We only have a reprieve. So that terrified me. Thank you that it terrified me. And as I said last night, I guess, I decided to do what it says, and I got a sponsor. We started working through the big book, and I started doing all the steps. And, you know, I found abstinence pretty quickly. Thank you, Lord. But it's the first time in my life that's happened. When I'm off and running, I can go 10 years, you know, and I don't wish that for anybody. So that's my story of relapse and slipping and sliding and how baffling it is and how much I could fool myself by convincing myself it was really okay and how half abstinence was I was just going to stop there. You know, when I gained 30 pounds, well, that was half abstinence. I mean, the definition of abstinence is cutting out food behaviors, compulsive eating behaviors, like binging and stuff. But then there's another half of it, and that's the harder part, which is while maintaining or moving toward a healthy body weight. So it's that moving toward a healthy body weight that I kind of wanted to ignore. But that was half measure for me. And so it wasn't availing me a lot. So that having been said, I would like to ask you to try just a little simple exercise to kind of talk about this point a little. If you're wearing glasses, would you please take them off? If you have on contacts, keep them on. But and just imagine what it's like without your contact. But for people with the glasses that you've taken them off, now kind of look around the room and see what you can see. So when I take off my glasses, I can still see you. I can see colors. I can't see very distinctly. And in fact, it gives me a headache. And notice how you can see without your glasses. Just notice how that distorts what you're looking at, how that distorts reality. Yeah? So the metaphor here is that this is what being in relapse is like. We get a distorted view. But thank you, God, for abstinence one day at a time. We get to put on our glasses, and we get to see colors, and we get to see life, and we get to see things the way they are, at least a lot better than we did when we didn't have on our abstinent glasses. So that's just a point I wanted to bring to you. Now, the rock thing, if you'll take out your rock, please, and take a look at your rock. And presumably this was a rock you chose. So this is a rock that you have with you right now. And I would like you to see this rock as whatever it is you're doing that's keeping you from the abundant life that your God has planned for you. And if it's not overeating, there are plenty of other things that keep us from an abundant life. Could be unforgiveness, could be holding on to some things, could be whatever. So we all have something we're holding on to that's keeping us from an abundant life that we could really have with our higher power. So we're going to take a few minutes just to sit here and think about this. And I did have a writing exercise, but I think we'll just leave it to sitting and thinking about it. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go with our partner, and we're going to go outside, find a place that's comfortable for us. And while you're sitting here contemplating, you have a choice of whether or not you're going to decide to give that wonderful rock you chose to your partner. And the role, and then the partner will do that with you. So if you decide not to give a rock to your partner, all you need to do is tell your partner all the reasons you're not going to give that rock to them. And here's the thing, when you're a partner, you may not give advice. You may not give counsel. You may not tell the person why they're wrong. You may not say to them, well, this is how it works for me. Our only job as a partner is to be a witness. Okay, really hear that. So it's very important to listen with your heart and not your judgment. Yeah, does that make sense? And then we'll come back. But let me just give you a few, like, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to just be still. Think about what your rock means and what you think you want to do with it. and then I'll check with you.
And I have questions.
Sure.
Okay, could you clarify again exactly? I'm going to write on it because I need to get out of my head.
Yeah.
What's the question?
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pass out this written. Thank you for asking that, Rick. I, it looks like it'd be better for me to pass this written exercise out first. Okay. So this is a written exercise. Will the passer outers come? This.
Here.
This is something for you to do. At the top of it are all the signs of relapse. So just for yourself, you can check off what applies to you. And then underneath is a writing exercise. So thanks, Rick. What we'll do is actually do this writing exercise before we do the rest. Yeah. Oh, don't worry about it yet. Okay. So let's take 15 minutes, maybe. Let's take until 2, I guess, to kind of check off the signs of relapse, whether you have any. And then to write about what it is you might be holding on to that's keeping you from an abundant life.
So we're meditating.
You meditate and then write. Do whatever is going to work for you in the next 20 minutes.
Oh, I need to play one for myself.
All the ones back here. Yeah, I need a wheelbarrow full of rocks.
Oh, no, we're only going to do one rock at a time. Oh, you need it.
I'm sorry, we're out.
I might have a hand.
Jan,
Oh, is that still on? I look at these, and a lot of these are my character defects. Uh-huh. So I don't know whether to think of them as, I mean, does that mean they're signs of relapse? If they're character defects I struggle with? Like, I don't know.
Well, if you're showing extremely being argumentative mm-hmm. lately, and you have 5 or 6 others of those,
you
might want to be on the lookout.
I gotcha.
Does that?
That helps.
Okay.
You.
Mm-hmm.
your belief. Thank you.
Never mind.